Anyway, so we've been kind of going on a wee bit of a journey, going through Easter and looking back at that moment in history where everything that Jesus had lived for, ultimately, we saw what he died for, you and me. And then came to that moment of resurrection. And we've kind of kept the journey going, having a look at the things that happened from the resurrection, that time of waiting that he asked the disciples to go into. Preparation time, preparing them to go. Last week we looked at the idea of Jesus coming and saying, all authority in heaven and on earth is mine, but I'm giving it to you to go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. But this was all preparation for the moment that he would then release them to go into the whole world. Today, on the Easter calendar, is officially Ascension Sunday. And we're going to be thinking about some of the last words that Jesus said to his disciples before he went to heaven. Last words are significant. Words are powerful. And when you think about this moment that Jesus had with his disciples, you think about what had happened up to this point. They've been with him for 3 years. They've seen the miracles. They've heard the teaching. They've been involved. He's then taken and crucified, and at that moment, everything seems to go wrong for the disciples, the scarper. And then we were reminded about how Jesus, no matter how far away we've gone, no matter how far away we've messed up, comes to somebody like Peter and restores him and calls him into the purpose that God had for him. Something powerful about that. But as these disciples are waiting, they're waiting to see what's going to happen next. Jesus comes to this point and he's got something that he needs to tell them. He's got instructions to give them. He wants to inspire them in this call that he's got for each of them. And this moment was intentional. Again, like last week, he was leaving no doubt for what it was that he had in store for the disciples. He was leaving no doubt in what he has in store for you and me today if we claim to really follow Jesus. And sometimes that involves a time of waiting, a time to prepare for what's going to happen next, a time to discover your purpose, your God-given purpose. And I'm going to say today that what Jesus says to the disciples in this passage, I believe, reveals that purpose for you and me today. But the question is, how do we live it? Because in Acts chapter 1, that's where we're going to go to today, if you've got a Bible with you. We're going to go to Acts chapter 1, and we're going to read these last words of Jesus before he ascends to heaven, before he goes back to heaven, in preparation for coming back. In God's time, in God's way. But let's read this wee passage together. Acts 1 verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up to the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go to heaven. Listen to these words that Jesus speaks to these disciples that day. As they're still in this time of waiting, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses. He's already told them, go into all the world. Jesus didn't come and say to the disciples, guys, stay comfortable. Stay in hiding, stay safe. He said, you will be my witnesses. You will receive power. He's told them already to go. This great commission and this great command that was going to be world-changing. And it's quite interesting as we're reading this passage. You can imagine. I want you to imagine the scene. You are a disciple. You hear Jesus saying this, and all of a sudden, he's taking out your sight up into the clouds. And he's going to heaven. You can't really blame them for looking up and being totally amazed, totally in awe of what is happening before their eyes as the last words of Jesus resonate through their minds. But there's a really important lesson that I think that we see in this bit. They could have easily have stood there and kept looking up and kept waiting. But as we see the two men that come along, challenge them on this and say, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go to heaven. It's almost like these two men were coming and saying, listen team, it's time to stop looking up and start looking out at what you've been told to do, to carry out this commission, to carry out this instruction to go and change the world. They could have been quite comfortable standing there looking and waiting. You wouldn't blame them. But that's not what they were called to do. We see in this passage that it says you will receive power. And I think this is something that's really important for each of us as we live today. And I want to ask you a question today. Are you living in the power of God in your life today? Do we know what that is like? Really? Truly? Because as Jesus said to the disciples, you will receive power. And it's a Holy Spirit power. It's a supernatural power. It's a power that can only come from God to enable, to equip, to release, to do what God is going to do through people like you and me. And that blows my mind. It's not going to be done in any human strength, any effort. That's exhausting, by the way. Really exhausting when you try and live out and you try and push God's, what you perceive God's intention and God's purpose, than just totally trusting in his strength. It's not about our personality or who we are. It's about being faithful to the call of God. And the power of the Holy Spirit is what transformed lives today. Nothing else. When people find Jesus, they're forgiven by Jesus, they're set free by Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in them and works through them to give them that strength to face situations that you might not fully face on your own. And the task for the disciples then and the task for us today is to proclaim, to be witnesses, and to step into what it is that God wants for us to tell the world. If you're here today and you think being a Christian is just about turning up to church, that's not how it works. If you're here today and you think it's just about learning as much as you can, filling your mind full of facts and information, and that's enough, that's not the whole picture. If you think it's about how kind and generous, how helpful we might be, lots of people live with that mindset and that idea. Well, I'm a good Christian because I do this. I remember just a few weeks ago seeing the Alistair Begg wee video that talks about this idea. If we ever say that we're a Christian because I have done something, we've not got it right. It's all about what he has done. And I wonder if we recognise that today. But what was it we were asked to be? Well, it tells us you will be my witnesses. And what does a witness do? Well, it tells what it has seen, what it's experienced, what it knows. So what are we witnesses to today? What would the disciples have been witness to as they lived with Jesus, served with Jesus, saw Jesus do the impossible? What were they witness to? Well, they were witness to the fact that Jesus saved. They had seen it time and time again in individual lives of people that they met, that Jesus could change lives. And that sometimes was physically, But every time was spiritually. They were witness that Jesus was alive. He'd appeared to them many times. He'd spoke to them. He'd given them this commission. They were witness to the gospel still has power till that very moment. They were able to tell people about what Jesus had done, what Jesus had said, not just before his death, but in his resurrection. They'd be able to be witnesses that Jesus was with them. And we've got that same thing today, that Jesus is with us through every single situation that we're in. Every time we go through whatever situation that we find ourselves in, Jesus is with us. Witness that the impossible can be made possible through the power of the Spirit. Witness that truth really does equal freedom, because the truth sets us free. Witnesses that miracles happen. I know I've said this loads of times, but I don't think anybody could have any doubt who Jesus was when they bumped into the blind man, or they bumped into the lame man, or they bumped into those who had been possessed by evil spirits. You couldn't have any doubt when you see these people face to face that Jesus had totally transformed them and been witness to that. But folks, I want to just challenge you today, and I said this week during our life groups, is that when we are given the authority of God to go, it comes with responsibility in how we live. I want to ask you today, if somebody was to come and ask you, tell me your experience of Jesus. Tell me what God's done in your life. Tell me how he's changed you and transformed me. Tell me how he's shaping you day by day. Tell me how this is making a difference in the right now in your life. Not just the moment you found Jesus, but in the constant, the continual. Tell me your story. Tell me what he's doing. What would you say? Because it's as simple as that. To go and make disciples is to be a witness, and to be a witness is to tell of what it is that you have experienced, what it is that you've seen, what it is that you know. And as a result of that, then other people will then see Jesus for who he is through your life, through your words, through your actions, through your attitude, your behavior, your character. You get it? We have to be his witnesses. We have to speak out. This is what God has done for me. This is a transformation that I've experienced and currently experiencing. And it wasn't through any fancy program or alpha course or anything else. It literally was designed, you be my disciples and you go and tell people. That's what it's all about. Totally in its simplicity. But it was going to be totally in the power of God. You see, that's what I love when I see lives that have been transformed, and it can only be the power of God that's done it. Nothing else. And it's incredible when then somebody else sees that and says, I want to know what happened. What's changed? Where are you finding that hope from? How are you experiencing joy when you're going through what it is that you're going through? You seem to have a peace that doesn't make sense. It's a peace that the world can't offer. Jesus said that. But our story and the way that we share and the way that we are witnesses is powerful when it's real. And here's a wee challenge for you, team, right? This is something that I've been thinking about recently, is that I don't want us to be a group of people that come to church, right, and we do the Sunday thing, and we say, right, that's good, we've sang the songs, we've listened to what the Bible says, and then we leave here and the rest of the week, nothing reflects what it is that we're learning or living. I want it to be that people see that authentic, genuine faith in action all the time, so that there's a wee bit of disconnect sometimes, right, and I get this. I've been guilty of it myself. But if people were to look at me outside the church, would they be able to recognize me in church? Do you get what I'm meaning? Would they see the same passion for God on a Monday as they see on a Sunday? Would they see that desire to live for God and to know God's ways consistently during the week? Because when people read our lives, when they witness our lives, there should be consistency across every day, every moment, every circumstance. But sometimes what happens is we can compartmentalize our faith into a situation to say, I'll tick the Sunday box, I'll tick the Tuesday box, I'll tick the serving box, whatever it's going to be. But the rest of the time, you wouldn't recognize. You wouldn't know that somebody says, I follow Jesus. There can be a total disconnect. We need to watch that team. We need to be careful that that's not our reality, because people will say there's no credibility. Remember, my wee mom used to always say, before she found Jesus, they're a bunch of hypocrites. That's what she said. She was quite strong in her views. And she said, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. Because Christians put her off. Because they said one thing and lived another way. I think she had a point. If we are going to be witnesses today, we need to look and say, I'm going to be a disciple like we talked about last week. And in order to be a disciple, I'm going to put the things into my life that are going to make sure that I'm living that normal, natural, authentic faith day by day. When things are going really well, I don't forget about God. And when things are going really bad, it's not the only time I cry out to Him. There's something really important in that. So if we're going to be witnesses, we need to be consistent. We need to be committed. And we need to be credible. And I believe when Jesus spoke to the disciples, that was part of this call. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, because that's what the Holy Spirit produces when He's living, when we allow Him, when He's active in each of our lives. I want to ask you again, are you living in the power of God today? Are we living in the power of God? So He tells them, be my witnesses, but then He tells them where they're going. And this maybe gets a wee bit closer to home for you, because every single one of you are going to answer this next question in your own way. Because every single one of us is on a different journey of life, different experience, different locations even. What did Jesus say to them? Well, the first thing He says is, I want you to go to Jerusalem. What Jesus was ultimately saying here is, I want you to go local. Be my witness where you are right now. What does that mean for you this morning? Where has God placed you in your life that is totally different to the person that's sitting beside you, unless you work in the same place? Or unless you're retired together. But you get what I'm talking about. God has uniquely placed you in circumstances and circles of people that I'm not in contact with. So don't rely on me telling them about Jesus. You have to be the witness. And He says, do that in Jerusalem, local. Then He says in Judea, I want you to think of that on a regional and a national level. When we are committed to sharing Jesus where we are at, then there might be opportunities to share on a wider level. And ministries and opportunities, a bit like the Glasgow City Mission. But we have to take Jesus not just locally, but also regionally and nationally. How does that happen? It happens where you are, where God puts you, where God places you. See, tomorrow if you get up for work and you think, I really don't want to be here, God put you there to be His witness for this moment. So as much as you might struggle to go and work, and you might have a bad attitude towards it because of that, because it's Monday morning, always have in mind that you're there as a witness, and you're there for Jesus. Look at the opportunities that might bring on a regional and national scale. But then it talks about Samaria, and Samaria is a wee bit of an interesting one here, because the Jews and the Samaritans didn't get on. There was a deep division in their relationship. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan, where the priest all walked past and it was the Samaritan that comes and helps the guy. Jesus told that story for a reason, to break down barriers. And actually, when it says to go to Samaria, I kind of put that down there as that's the place that you really don't want to go. That's a place where you might have a struggle with somebody or something. So we've got Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then it talks about the end of the earth. That's the Africa. That's Peter's mission, Maria's mission. That's Romania. That's the opportunity to bring Jesus to people at the ends of the earth. And I actually have said this before, but I believe it, that we are in the ends of the earth moment just now. Now, I know I'm going to contradict what I said earlier on, because I would have loved to have been able to get Maria on that screen live right now. But that was a me issue rather than a... But the ends of the earth, I could literally message her right now. And within seconds, it's delivered. The Bible is in more people's hands today than it's ever been. The YouVersion Bible app downloaded over 1 billion times worldwide. End of the earth stuff, where people who may have had never any access have now got it in their hands. So Jesus is clear, this is what I want you to do. And you've not to keep this message to yourself. I want you to locally, regionally, nationally, and globally be my witnesses. And be my witnesses to what God's doing in your life right now. And in order for God to be doing stuff in my life right now, I need to be living as a disciple. I need to be living committed. I need to be living grown. I need to be living in His step. So the big question is, where's God placed you right now? What is that place that you're to be His witness? It might be simple, and I know this is the reality for some of you. It might be just in your house. It might be with your family, because your family don't know Jesus yet. And how you live, how you interact, how you love is part of that story and part of their journey. I don't want to embarrass somebody this morning, but I heard something beautiful today. I heard something beautiful this week, which backs up what I'm saying today. Because somebody who's exploring faith right now, somebody who's looking into Jesus right now, somebody who's trying to figure all this stuff out right now, said to me this week, "Do you know something, John? When I look at the faith of my mother and my grandmother, it's inspirational." And I wonder if that person was even aware of the impact of their love for their loved one was making. Quietly, even silently. It's incredible to think. So, where's your Jerusalem? Where's your Judea? Where's your Samaria? Where is your ends of the earth? If we are going to witness where we are, we need to witness where we go. And it's witnessing what Jesus is doing, know what I'm doing. It's witnessing what Jesus is changing and know what I'm changing. It's witnessing what Jesus is transforming and know what I'm transforming. Because it's all about Him. And people will read your life and they'll see your faith. And if we're living this out correctly, they'll see Jesus. They'll see the change. They'll not be able to deny it. They'll not be able to... Genuinely, it's incredible when you see that. People saying, "I've seen a change in you." And it's no normal, it's no natural, it has to be from God. I want to just read a couple of verses before we finish today. Linked with what I've just said, actually, 2 Timothy, we're going to look at the words that are written in here, and this is why I want to encourage you today, right? I want you to recognize that as we are living this out, this is all in God's strength, all in God's purpose. 2 Timothy 1 verse 3 says, "I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. And I'm reminded of your sincere faith." Think about this description that Paul, as he writes to Timothy, says here. "I'm reminded of your sincere faith." But listen to where, you see the chain, you see how it works. It says, "which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives also in you. So the sincerity of Timothy's faith, seeing that